Okay, here we go. It's 10 o'clock. It's the second Sunday of Epiphany. I love Epiphany. And we're going to begin our service of morning prayer with a short silence. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Come, let us worship the Lord who made us, who knows our every thought before it is formed. See the one from whom nothing is hidden. Hear him speak. Come, let us worship and listen. Amen. Amen. And we pray together, saying, Almighty God, you speak to us in so many ways. Help us in our worship today to hear your voice and to know it is you. Speak to us in the silence, through Scripture and by the Spirit. Speak through others and through your creation, through images, experiences, music, and encounters. Speak in ways that we can understand. So speak, Lord, and help us to listen. Amen. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Your light springs up for the righteous, and all the peoples have seen your glory. Blessed are you, Sovereign God, King of the nations. To you be praise and glory forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, your name is proclaimed in all the world. As the sun of righteousness dawns in our hearts, anoint our lips with the seal of your Spirit, that we may witness to your gospel and sing your praise in all the earth. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever.
And now we turn to our psalm, Psalm 139, beginning at the first verse. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me.
You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar.
You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways.
Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely.
You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain.
Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?
If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there.
If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea,
even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast.
If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me,
even the darkness will not be dark to you.
The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Well, our first reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament, the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our canticle, a song of the covenant. We begin by saying together, "I have given you as a light to the nations, and I have called you in righteousness. Thus says God, who created the heavens, who fashioned the earth and all that dwells in it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, and I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the captives from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. I have given you as a light to the nations, and I have called you in righteousness.
And our second reading comes from St. John's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God are ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I'd like to start by asking you a question this morning. What is it about something, anything, that makes it precious? Can you think of something that is precious to you? The one thing you would save if your house was on fire. And let me ask why. What is it about that thing that makes it more precious than all the other things you'd leave behind? A thing might be precious because it has special meaning, it holds memories, it represents something or somewhere or someone you love. It's one of a kind, rare, even unique, or maybe just the last one left. It's useful in a way that other things are not. It's irreplaceable, it's beautiful, or it's worth a lot of money, or you couldn't live without it. But now the argument has become circular. Why is it worth a lot of money? Why couldn't you live without it? We'd love to hear what you would save and why that thing is especially precious to you. Send us a postcard, send us an email, send us a text, send us a photo. We might even collect all your answers together and do something with them, anonymously, of course, so that we can all see what matters to each of us. And please, if your answer is going to be photographs or books or letters, please pick just one and tell us why it's got to be that one. In verse 1 of today's Old Testament passage, we're told that the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there were not many visions. The word translated rare literally means precious, that is to say, prized, of great price, of exceptional worth. Why was the word of the Lord so prized? Well, in part, because it was scarce. There wasn't much of it about. Not because God had run out of things to say, but because his priests and prophets either could not or would not hear his voice and pass it on. And it's on to this sadly deserted stage that Samuel steps. Just a boy, but a boy whose presence on this stage grows out of an auspicious beginning and points to an even more notable future. The dynamic of the prophet calling is past, present, and future. To be aware of God's past dealings with his people and to recall them. To comment on how things are at present. And to announce future important events and changes before they happen. Such prophetic messages were of huge importance to God's people, even more so when they were so scarce. As he prepares to do a new thing, God raises up a new prophet to hear his word, see his visions, and carry his message faithfully to his people. The New Testament is full of new beginnings. The seed that falls into the ground and dies in order to bear new fruit. The old wineskins discarded in favour of new skins to hold new wine. The forerunner who says, he must increase, but I must decrease. The God who says, see, I am making all things new. So it was in Samuel's day, and so may it be in ours. As we consider this present moment and look nervously to the future, let's resist the temptation to want to put everything back just as it was. Let's consider the past by all means, but as a reminder of God's faithfulness and of his unfailing ability to bring new life out of old, not to find in the past an exact blueprint for our future. And before we get to that moment, let us stand together, you and I, on the clifftop, shoulder to shoulder, gazing out to sea, and wondering what might lie, as yet unseen, beyond the horizon. Let us say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," and be open to the entirely biblical possibility that the voice which speaks God's wisdom and encouragement may be both familiar and unfamiliar, as old as time, and simultaneously fresh and new. And let's ask ourselves, when the house has been reduced to rubble, what is the one precious thing we will most want to save from the wreckage, to place center stage in the new? And please, please let us not turn a deaf ear to the still small voice which says, "Do you not believe it? Do you not perceive it? I am doing a new thing in you." Amen. Let it be so.
Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you.
So let us turn to prayer. Come and see and join in praying for the people of the world, waiting to hear good news. Loving God, we pray for true unity in the United States of America in the days and weeks ahead. We pray for an end to violence, for wisdom and protection of President-elect Joe Biden and all who will take office in a few days' time. We pray for those threatening to disrupt the inauguration and for the police force and others entrusted with keeping the law and peace. Lord, hear our prayer and draw us all closer to you. We pray for those around the world at the mercy of extreme weather conditions. We pray for the people of Japan and Indonesia, for those rescue workers who died trying to save others, for those bereaved in the plane crash, for those in our own country without power and heat. We pray for those tackling the challenges of climate change, and for our own response in our day-to-day lives. Lord, hear our prayer and draw us all closer to you. We pray for all who are pushed to their limits at work and at home, for intensive care staff, for all in the emergency services, for GPs, for teachers and school staff, parents and students, for all whose mental health is at breaking point. We pray for our government and all whose decisions affect millions of lives. And we pray for one another as we respond to the restrictions locally and nationally. Lord, hear our prayer
and draw us all closer to you.
We pray for those whose businesses are closed, whose shops are locked up, whose rooms have no guests, for those whose money is running out, for those on the brink of despair. Lord, hear our prayer
and draw us all closer to you.
We pray for your church, entrusted with the good news of Jesus and charged with serving all those in need. And this morning we pray for those who are ill, for Pam, Jacques, Trish, Jen, Catherine, Brian, David, Jennifer, Jean, Rosemary, Nigel, Mavis, Andrew, Vera, Stephen, David, Geraldine, Caris, Steve, Adrian, and Sue, and all others known to us. And we pray for hospital chaplains, for those ministering to the bereaved. And this morning we particularly pray for the family and friends of Vernon Hutchings and Jerry Blake. And we pray for one another as we seek to share our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ. Lord, hear our prayer
and draw us all closer to you.
Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the collect for the day. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Christ, the Son of God, perfect in us the image of his glory, and gladden our hearts with the good news of his kingdom. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us and those we love and pray for, today and always. Amen. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you.
Thank you very much for joining us again this morning. It's lovely to have your company and to worship with you. Just a reminder that tomorrow is the beginning of the week of prayer for Christian unity, and we will be joining with our friends down at St. Paul's and St. George's to say daily prayer together at 8:30, either on Zoom if you're dressed and on conference call if you're not dressed. We hope to be dressed. The coffee morning will take place
on Wednesday morning at 10:30 usual time, and the Bible study is back on Wednesday evening at 7:30 by Zoom and conference call, and we will be looking at the book of Ruth together. And if you look on the website, and I think Zoomers, you'll be able to see an advert for it, we have a new online reflection called Fresh Beginnings for the start of this new year. You can access it through the X-Valley Mission Community website, or there will be a link on St. Peter's website. Thank you very much indeed. We look forward to seeing you next week, if not in between, at some of those events.
And I'd just like to welcome two new Zoomers to our service this morning. Ron and Margaret have been faithfully on the phone for the last 10 months, and they've made it onto Zoom, which is wonderful. And I'd like to say that as an encouragement to all you on the telephone, that if you'd like to have a go at Zoom and you haven't dared take the plunge yet, let Ron and Margaret be a good example.
And Connie as well.
Well done, Connie. First time today. So it's not too late. Oh, look, there they are. It's more people. There we are. So people are still making it onto Zoom even after so long. So you on the telephone, if you'd like to have a go, and you're not sure what to do, give us a call and we'll gladly talk you through it. Steph has now got a certificate as a Zoom initiator. Personally signed by Margaret. So have a go if you'd like to give it a go. We'd be glad to help you.
Yeah. Anyway, love to you all and see you soon. Thank you for joining us.
There we are.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, telephone. Bye-bye.